to me, that's kind of endearing because it's like, she's very like, everything's on the table. I'm not hiding from this. But at the same time, like, this is your chance to like curate what people, I mean, people are going to find out eventually anyway. So like, you may as well own it and be like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
But when they did that, I was just like, okay,
Yeah,
yeah,
I definitely
I
would
don't
have
know.
left that out. Like, if there was like a random video of me falling in like poop, I'd be like, no, we're not talking about
To be fair,
it.
she did. To be fair, she did name her drag persona after it. So, I mean,
Yeah,
like,
electric fence.
it clearly like means something to her. Whereas, like, most people would probably just be like, "Yeah, it's in the past."
Yeah,
Oh my God.
she could have gone with Landon, but.
Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, me, John.
How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh my God, I'm doing so good. Especially because we have an extra special guest today.
Oh, I have heard all about the specialty of this guest. And we love to get returns.
I mean, everyone, like, just prep yourself because we have Adam Johannesson. So, Adam just dropped one of the most beautiful drawings of Nikki Doll that I've ever seen. And we love his artistry, but, he's very busy actually working at real jobs. So when we get a drag drop, we know it's like Christmas. It's like a blessing that we didn't expect. And we've obviously had him on the podcast before. And we're so glad that he's back.
We certainly are. Hello, welcome.
Thank you for having me again.
Oh my God, we're obsessed.
Absolutely. We love our queer artists.
If y'all don't know, the Instagram graphic design sensation published artist, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is back again.
Congrats on that.
And we are still dealing with three different versions of Drag Race, which is one of the worst things that's ever happened to me in my whole entire life.
Yeah, we have a lot to balance right now.
I mean, 3 hours of drag? Like, what is going on in my life?
Thank God they're international and they don't have Untucked as well.
I know. Before we get into it, I just have to say, I'm so glad this is the last week of three different drag races because I cannot watch 3 hours of Drag Race and pretend like it's all equal.
Yeah, a lot on our plates. And I thought I ate a lot for Thanksgiving. And here we are filling up on drags.
Oh, so Adam, I don't know if you know, but Thanksgiving just happened in America, so it's like a big holiday weekend.
I think it's just making its way over here. Like,
yeah.
I don't think anyone celebrates it. Well, no, that's not true, actually. My flatmate did yesterday.
Wait, your flatmate had Thanksgiving?
Friendsgiving.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Friendsgiving,
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something like, as the years go by, people are acknowledging more here, but it's still not like an official holiday because it has something to do with America. So I don't think we can just make it a thing.
Right, right.
It's like colonialism and everything, but like, yeah. I can't believe that people were celebrating even just Friendsgiving.
Yeah, that's apparently a thing.
Hey there, Robo fans and Dino fans. Do you like science fiction? Do you like movies about robots and dinosaurs? Do you like podcasts that explore sci-fi philosophy through a fun and positive lens? Then you are going to love Robots vs. Dinosaurs. Every week, your host, Louis G, invites a guest onto the show to talk about one of their favorite sci-fi movies. It's a RoboCast. It's a DinoCast. It's a battle for ultimate awesomeness in science fiction pop culture. Subscribe to Robots vs. Dinosaurs on Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes every Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Robos V Dinos or Twitter at Versus Robots. That is at VS Robots.
Hello there. Ever wonder if you're using the right service? Tooltip is a website that helps you find the right tools 10 times faster. And now it has a podcast called Tooltip Time. We're your hosts, Mijan Zulu and Jude Brewer. Join us as we're tasked to explore different tools and, warning, sometimes things may get weird, but we'll always let you know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our first season is about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, podcasting. We are two people from the industry that are committed to finding the stuff that actually works so that you can make the best decision for you, your project, or your business. See you on Wednesday for Tooltip Time. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast.
You know, do we have a whole story report for Canada?
Oh, for Canada? I think we can do that. Hello there, eh? Did you Americans have a chance to catch Canada's Drag Race? Here's what occurred. Gloria Hall Brown, Eyewitness News. Last time, Isis Cooter won the Sinner's Ball and Cynthia Kiss was given the kiss of death and sent home. On today's mini challenge, Brad Goreski hosts Fashion Police to review the Drag Race fashion so far. Kendall Jenner wins the mini challenge with her witty tongue. Canada might have a different Thanksgiving, but these queens will be filling up on a roast for the main challenge. And Kendall decides the order. Can the dolls baste Brooklyn Heights in hate and laughter, or will their jokes be cold stuffing? Brad and guest judge Emma Hunter coach the contestants, and it's on to the main stage. Brooklyn looks amazing and ready to get tore up from the floor up. There are highs and lows, but Kendall and Isis seem to have the edge. On the runway category is Dungeons and Drag Queens. The looks that breathed hot fire were from Adriana, Isis Couture, Kimora Amor, and Pythia's fantastic centaur. Kendall Jenner wins the challenge, and sadly, Kimora Amor, who's feeling finished, and Geometric are up for elimination and lip sync to get down. Kimora can't back off of Gia, who follows the assignment and gets down. Kimora Amor is eliminated, five queens remain, and that's the whole story.
Oh my god. I can't believe you didn't mention the terrible lip sync.
It was insane. I can't believe she was following her around like that, and what a way to sabotage yourself.
To quote Amanda Brugal, that was weird as It was inappropriate, and it was weird, and it was awkward.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Kimora started it off as like a joke, because I know sometimes it's like a funny, campy move to follow the queen around or kind of mimic what they're doing, and it can be funny. So I don't know if that was her starting point, but it definitely didn't end there.
You can't do it the whole time.
No. So if it was a joke, it was the most poorly executed joke I can imagine. Yeah. And I just can't believe you would throw it away like that.
I know. Also, poor Pythia.
I know.
And then I have to say, Isis Cooter won that challenge. She just didn't mention Brooke.
Yeah, but I see how that was enough points off. If she had condensed her time a little bit and not been forced to stop because she went on too long, she very much could have won.
But honestly, like, when you really think about stand-up comedy and just comedy in general, or even a roast, people always go over. Second of all, as long as you make people laugh, that's the point. Mm-hmm. I don't care if she didn't get to Brooklyn. She was actually just laugh out loud funny.
Kendall followed the assignment a little better, though. And that's what they care about. Because, like, the show doesn't care that much about a roast really being just like a roast. Because those are not meant to be, like, televised and recorded, period.
Yeah.
So they have to, like, play it for a TV show version of a roast. So they're, I think it's... That's why they wanted Kendall to win. And she ended up having a really strong episode.
And I feel like they just really wanted to give Kendall a win this time. Because she's the only contestant that has not won.
Yeah. And she won both challenges this episode. So that's cool. Not that the mini means anything. But it still looks good.
Also, I still don't know who Amanda Hunter is, by the way. Like,
me either. Those were funny roasts.
Oh, my God.
Kendall had a really good one up top with the... just about not knowing who the f*** she was. Thought that was great, because I was like, okay, thank you.
It was very, very funny.
I don't know who that is. Gonna have to Google you. So sorry, Adam, we're like, have you been caught up with this season of Canada?
I mean, as far as, like, Kendall winning the challenge, mm-hmm. I mean, like, welcome to the competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took you long enough, but I do think she did well, and I thought she looked good as well, like, doing the roast. Like, I don't know, it was, like, quite a cute look for her. And... Yeah, I do know that Isis got stopped, I believe. Yeah. Like, they just cut her off, and it was the most awkward thing ever.
They were like, you just ran out of time.
Which, I mean, is fair, because, I mean, we've seen in past seasons they haven't done that.
They've not done that.
Yeah.
And it's so weird that, like, they were so... Because remember...
Someone else just took a long time.
She who shall not be named.
Yeah, she who...
That's right.
I don't want to say her name, but we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
She went way over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no one stopped her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Canada is a different production company, so I think they were like, we're going to do it, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But from what I heard, like, apparently they were the, like, production favorite as well when they were filming. Mm-hmm. Before that, they knew about all the stuff that happened. So I think with her being a favorite, they were probably like, you can take all the time you need.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. She was very strong on the show.
Yeah.
Just had to basically edit her out as much as they could.
Literally.
At least I think it gave us, they like opened the doors for Jada. Like, yeah. I think she was like an alternate or something like that. So I don't even think.
Yeah. Right, right.
So Tamisha Amon was supposed to be on Drag Race, but then she got cancer. And so what happened is that Jada was like the replacement for Tamisha for that season. And then she won.
That's wild. Yeah.
Everyone expected
Gigi Good. Yeah.
Yeah. But then Jada came and she killed it. And they were just like, oops.
Yeah.
Jada Essence Hall. I mean, she's...
Sorry, I like totally took us off Canada there.
No, no. All good.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, this episode, like, front runners or girls who've been doing the best really struggled in this one.
I do have to say that, like, this was the most entertaining episode for me. The comedy was actually funny. Like, Isis was, like, laugh-out-loud funny. And then so was Kendall. And then Adriana killed it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have a whole story report for Italia, but... I have to say, I don't like this Drag Race.
It feels the most to me like Drag Race España, but España was like a gag immediately.
Yeah.
And Italia, yeah, it's not being a gag immediately, but let's give them a chance a little bit. I guess we'll see if it warms up, if it gets a little better, but
I don't know.
I didn't like, I mean, I think there's like real bitterness between them sometimes.
Yeah,
it feels like making it a little less enjoyable.
It honestly feels like there's so much toxic masculinity in Italy.
Yeah, weirdly.
It's like everyone has a terrible relationship with their dad. And like, what's her face? Who like basically got rejected by her father, then started having a lot of unprotected sex and then contracted HIV. I was like, oh my God.
You're telling those stories.
If you compare it to like the UK, where like Kitty Scott-Claus is like very accepted by her family. Elva Day has literally no problems. And then Crystal is like the youngest drag queen ever. So she had troubles with her dad, but clearly in her 19 years on this earth, he got over it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess that speaks to the culture, but also the age group of Italia is definitely older. Like it skews older on average than UK is. So they have probably definitely grown up at a time like in the 90s and so that they probably dealt with that a lot more than these younger contestants ever got the chance to.
I know, but...
So that must be part of why the stories are so rough. I don't know. We'll see how the challenges go. Cause it does kind of have like maybe that's part of the season one, disorder, you know,
season one disorder.
Yeah. Cause they all kind of have like some problems that by season two they address, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So maybe that's their aspect of it.
Adam, have you seen any of the Drag Race Italia?
I've seen like 30 seconds. I saw one of the queens on the runway and they did look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing like a Dita Von Teese kind of inspired look.
She was
I know that. I feel like that's the one that you would love.
Okay. So I saw the best of it.
You literally saw the best look on the runway that whole
out of two episodes of runways so far. That's been the best looking thing so far. Right.
And like, that's the queen that like, I feel like you'd be a really big fan of because she's so stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah, she looked really good.
Also, whoever Gianmarco Sereno is, I was like, what is this hot man doing on this?
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad because we have Tommaso, who's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then we had Gianmarco. And then Fabio Molo was like just okay. But I was like, what are all Italians just like really hot? Like, is this like a thing?
I think that may be the case. And But I'm here for all flavors of drag. So if they're like hot guys in drag, that's great. I love it.
Nick, do we have a whole story report for Drag Race UK season finale?
We sure do. Oi! It's time for the Drag Race Series 3 Grand Final. Who will be the Crown Queen? Head of the day, Kitty Scott Claus and Crystal Versace. Gloria Hall, Brown Eyewitness News. Last time, the Rose Challenge saw Elle of a Day victorious and Crystal defeated Vanity in the lip sync. We're post-Thanksgiving and immediately into the Christmas spirit, which, all right, and the present under the tree will be a shiny new crown and scepter. The final challenge will be writing a custom verse and performing to RuPaul's song, It's Christmas. Let's see what these ho-ho-hos come up with to earn that crown. The Queen's interview with Rue and Michelle and the best reception seems to go to Kitty Scott Claus. The girls move on to choreography with my summer boyfriend, Jay Ravel. RuPaul is wrapped up like a present in wrapping paper realness. Michelle looks like Santa's new wife, Teresa, from New Jersey. Hey, I can say that. I'm a Jersey girl. It's time for Christmas music. The queens look incredible. I loved all the verses, and the choreography served. And the eliminated queens' looks were gifts that kept on giving. On the runway category is top three eleganza. My top look went to Crystal Versace. The pageant questions see Crystal Versace with the best advice for the younger self, and they all have solid answers for why they should be the next UK superstar. At this point, I'm chanting all three win. All three win, but alas, it cannot be. Crystal might have the edge, but all three queens now lip-sync for the crown to You Don't Own Me, a terrible lip-sync song. Okay, Crystal kind of owned this one, too. Rue has made her decision, and the next UK drag superstar is Crystal Versace. Wow, that bitch turned it. Lawrence Janis should have been there to crown her. I hope it's at least a year and a half before airing a single episode of season 4, and that's the whole story.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over, and I've never been more disappointed by the end of a series.
Oh, well, it made sense, I guess, but they really built up Ella and Kitty going into the finale.
Exactly.
But she turned it in the finale, and hey, who has ever won two challenges, the first two episodes in a row? Nobody.
Adam, you've seen Crystal live, so clearly she can turn it, right?
Yeah, she's amazing. Like, I've seen her, like, this close in my face.
Yeah.
Like, she's very, very good performer. And she looks just as good in person, like, from every angle.
Okay, so I was trying to reason through, like, why Crystal won. Because going into it, she was not the winner. Like, it was clearly Elle Vidae. So I think that when Elle Vidae walked on her final runway and Rue saw her, it was like, no, I can't crown that. Like, this is just not right. And then they really kind of like pushed her to the side in the interview portion when they were like, so a lot of people say that, like, you know, when actors fail, they become drag queens, like musical theater people. I was like, oh, you really don't want her to win, because that question was like very pointed. And it's kind of the same as what happened in Holland with My Little Pony, where they were like, oh, you've only been doing drag for like 2 years. They never mentioned that until the very end. And then they were like, oh, well, you can't win because like you haven't like put in the time to be like a good drag queen. And so I was like, okay, so Ella was out. And then I think that Crystal's answers to the questions really pushed her ahead when she was like, I'm the future of drag, like blah, blah, blah.
I mean, if they all did as equally well in the song, which it was very strong on all of them, they just liked what Crystal was selling more.
Do you really think that? I mean, Adam, I actually think that Kitty had the best lip sync.
I don't know that they loved her verse, though.
I don't even remember. Like, I remember watching the lip sync and thinking, like, Kitty was grabbing my attention the most because she kind of just went at it, whereas the other two just like walked to the back of the stage. I don't know what they were doing. I can't even remember the remix. Like, if you were to ask me to, like, tell you what they said about themselves, I can tell you. It was 0 out of 10 for me.
It was the most forgettable lip sync. I feel the same way. I can remember Crystal Versace standing, Elle Vidae walking, and then Kitty Scott Claus actually being funny.
She really did the most, yeah.
I think we got into this very weird place where Kitty could have won it. Like, I actually think she would have been a great like representative of the RuPaul's Drag Race franchise. But everyone kept winning instead of Kitty. She didn't peak early enough to be on everyone's radar. And then with only two badges, she couldn't have won. Whereas Crystal peaked really, really early. So she was at the top for most of the run of the series.
She was the front runner.
I do have to say that on the stage, on the final episode, the best looking drag queen was Crystal Versace.
Oh, 100%. At the crowning, her look was the best.
It was 100% the best because like, I didn't like that Cinderella number that Kitty was doing. Like,
it didn't look as elegant as I'd hoped.
It was not eleganza.
There, yeah.
Crystal's face and the curvature was phenomenal. Like, she just, I think she looked like the most polished queen on the stage and then they crowned her.
Yeah, totally. And Ella's was not quite the polish I expected from Ella, even though she still looked great. But I think her wig is what tanked her.
Oh, really?
I thought it was kind of the worst part.
Her wig line was where my hat is.
And it was like a cone of curls as well. And I thought that looked really, really bad.
Oh, that's
and
so
she
funny.
Usually wears much better shape of hair that's more iconically her, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that was a betrayal to her own style.
I think the devil's in the details and Elva Day does not have the details.
Yeah, where was the MILF? Like, you're totally. The MILF drag queen and you come out looking like that.
That's what I think her thing is or should be, but maybe that speaks to where she's at, that she just is like, she's, a lot of queens do this where they just are hovering around themselves mm-hmm. and then by All Stars, they kind of nail it or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's a lot of queens on their inaugural seasons, I think. But Crystal looked perfect. She really did. It was her name.
Was she literally wearing her name?
Oh, no, I mean like her name, Versace. It looked like it was very...
Versace?
Very Versace, yeah. Just big, chunky gold, but perfectly dragified with her proportions and everything. It was, I mean, she looked perfect.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I thought that was one of the worst things she's worn all season.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I think her face was good and the wig was cute, but like it was a black dress.
I just like the concept of it, I think, most of all, because it was her. It just was so 100% her.
Yeah, and also like I feel like the standard that episode was pretty low to begin with. So like,
it was
yeah,
so low.
Yeah.
She
for
had,
a finale, definitely less.
She looked the most like herself, weirdly enough. Like she was giving her.
Yeah.
Like when you looked at the three of them, you were like, okay, you know what you're giving. Whereas the other two, we had Glinda and like.
yeah. Cheap Glinda and.
Yeah. These three might never work with me because of what I'm saying. But I was just so like over it. Like, honestly, I was so hyped for this. Like, I was like, come on, like. Because the whole episode, I was kind of like, eh. And I was like, surely the runway will get me interested. And then,
wow
like,
you, right?
I don't get me wrong. Like, I don't like to rag too much on Queens. Like, All Stars, fair enough, rip them apart. But, like, on the original seasons, like, drag is expensive. And, like,
it is expensive.
I mean, for like, a 19-year-old drag queen, it's pretty good. So, like, you can't be too tough on them. But at the same time, drag, I like, it's not about spending a lot of money. Like, there were, like, because they had better looks, like, this season. And I think Elva Day looked better as an Oompa Loompa than she did in the final episode.
Like, she did. She really did.
That was more stunning and fun and impressive to me.
It was just more, like, realized, like, everything was off about this. I was, like, it was jarring to look at. So having to, like, watch her, like, slowly walk around the stage lip syncing to the song was really tragic, and it was also like you were watching somebody completely throw it. Like, this is me being quite harsh here, and also me never being on Drag Race, so my opinion really does not count here, but I will say I think for her to, I think she got way too cocky.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't shut up about the badges.
She would not.
It was getting really boring. And, like, she just kept doing it. You could tell that by that point, she was like, I've got four badges. Like, it doesn't matter if I don't look good. And she just threw it. And so when she didn't win, I was just kind of like, it's your fault. But I also think that they wanted Crystal to win from day one.
I agree.
She was the only person that was winning this season.
So
to me, even though, don't get me wrong, I was gobsmacked that she won, just because I felt like for the second half of the season, it was like all focus was on Kitty and Ella. So I was really shocked. But at the same time, when it happened, I was like, oh no. I was like, they did stick to the plan. Like, this makes sense.
No, I totally agree. I think that the bait and switch that they did on this season is, it was unexpected. I thought that they had literally given up on Crystal and they were trying to find a winner because they were like, oh, she's just too young. She's not experienced enough, like blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden at the end, they're like, oh no, Crystal Versace, dope. Here, take the crown. Mm-hmm. But like, why do that?
For stakes.
Basically like just giving points to everyone else and then crown the person that they thought was going to win at the beginning.
If she'd had like one more win or a double win with someone else or something a little bit later on, it would have been a much more clear picture, I think.
Yeah.
To me, like, I think what was starting to tell me that, like, what threw me off was when they didn't give her the win for the charity shop challenge. Because I think that they, if they, like I was saying, like, if they had decided, you know, this is what we want to represent us this year at the beginning, they absolutely could have given her that win and it would have been totally believable and that would have been her rise back up to the top. So when that didn't happen, I remember thinking to myself, I was like, oh, wow, like they really dropped her. But then also like the season was just pure chaos. So like I think the vibe really was like Rue was at the end, like, just going to cry my favorite. Like, screw you two guys, even though you've been killing it. Yeah. Like, I'm going to pick. Because Rue clearly was madly in love with Crystal, so...
It's almost like, remember like way back in the day when Boo was just like, nah, I'm just like feeling Tyra, so we're just gonna crown her.
I guess, but at the same time, like, Tyra did really well.
She was such a clear winner. Yeah.
Oh no,
yeah.
Sorry. You're right.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Rue was like, you're my favorite, so.
Yeah, you're my favorite, so here's the crown. But I mean, we do have to acknowledge that like Tyra did win her season. Like she was just like literally better than everyone else, which is the exact opposite of Crystal.
Yeah, like she. To be fair though, she was definitely like giving all the right answers that episode. Like, if I remember correctly, she was kind of hitting on the like. I think she was talking about like her grandmother or something like that, and she was really giving them like the vulnerability like at the right moment, whereas the other, like Kitty, was just kind of like, everyone loves me and I have a great life and like which is fine, like that's totally fine, but like it's not Rue was like hungry for that like backstory. So when Crystal gave it to him, I think he was like, okay, you've ticked the last box, we can give you the crown.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think that the end of RuPaul's Drag Race is literally a pageant. And so, like, you have to give them, like, that money shot. You know what I mean? Like maybe a tear, some adversity. Because, like, remember when, like, Vanessa Van Cartier, like, sat down in Holland for the interview portion? It was so raw and, like, powerful. And I think that Kitty kind of, like, kicked herself in the foot by being like, my life is just so magical. I am the second oldest child. My family is super supportive. I have never...
So give me this too.
I've never struggled for anything in my life. And, you know, there's been no adversity that I've overcome to get to this point. And it's just like, it's like no one wants that person to win, unfortunately. because they're...
I think she'll be fine as well. Like, I think after the show, like, she's definitely like the... I think in terms of being like palatable, like I think coming out of the show, she's probably going to be the one that we'll see the most doing like 100%. TV gigs and kind of like Bag of Chips. Like she's very like easy to digest and she's charming. Whereas like Crystal, like I don't think the public, I think she kind of needed that win to keep her going.
Yeah, to stay relevant. But you're
good point.
You're so right though, because I've been, you know, obviously I'm not in England, but I've been watching Bag of Chips' career since. She's doing amazing.
Yeah.
They had her on that weird karaoke show.
Yeah, she's on everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Yeah. The one last thing that we have to take of note is that Anubis won Miss Congeniality.
Isn't that nice?
That's fair. She does seem like a really nice person.
She really does.
But also, like, we don't know her. So I was like, what do you mean she won Miss Congeniality? I was it should have been Charissa May or River Medway.
I expected Charissa, I guess. But yeah, she wasn't around for too long, but it at least shows that they like her and they think she's kind and has a good personality. That's really nice.
Well, she's only 19, though. So I feel like she has plenty of time to get wild. Better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no excuses now. A 19-year-old just won.
Yeah.
That's tough.
She's definitely feeling the heat, but I really liked Anubis. Like, I was so gutted when she went home.
I mean, of all the queens that left, just looking at Anubis's Instagram, like, she actually had the stuff to, like, compete and has, a unique point of view. And so I was really sad to see her go as well. But, you know, someone has to go first. And, you know, it was her.
Yeah. I mean, if she had to go so we could see Electrofans breakdancing, I think it was worth it.
I know. Electrofans has changed the game. Like, to see her, like, hop and bop and boopity bop, like, no one can do what Electrofans does. Like, she's just, like, she's changed the lip sync game forever.
Her exit line is iconic.
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, she was a social media star before, so it's like she's just used to being iconic.
I didn't know that. Like, she explained it on the show, but, like, people I knew of her from that video, and I'd never seen the video.
Oh, you'd never seen the video?
No. Like,
I just thought it was one of those, like, pop culture things, kind of like, you know, like, leave Britney alone.
That big?
No, I mean, like,
I'd never.
She made it seem like it was, like, that was her leave Britney alone, like, moment.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she was like, "You might remember me from this,"
and I was like, "No, I don't." But like, I'm also not British, so like, I was like, maybe it wasn't on my like feed, you know. But like,
it's like amazing, like what people will freely associate themselves with. Like, if you're on TV and this is like your one chance to introduce yourself to the world, like, there's just some things that you might want to leave out,
like falling in.
Yeah, like, it's just, I mean, honestly, to me, that's kind of endearing because it's like, you know, she's very, like, everything's on the table. I'm not hiding from this. But at the same time, like, this is your chance to, like, curate what people, I mean, people are going to find out eventually anyway. So, like, you may as well own it and be like, yeah, I did it. Yeah. But when they did that, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I definitely would have left that out. Like, if there was, like, a random video of me falling in, like, poop, I'd be like, no, we're not talking about it. Like,
to be fair, she did name her drag persona after it, so I mean,
yeah, like, Electrofans.
It clearly like means something to her, whereas like most people would probably just be like, yeah, it's in the past.
Yeah,
like, oh my god,
she could have gone with Landon, but thank goodness she went with the first part.
Yeah, I mean, her like time on the show and like just that exit line is probably the one that I've heard quoted the most, like around like my friends and that, like, because it's just so funny. I know that's a shame because it was when she was leaving, but it maybe that's like a British thing, I think, like, because it was so like, I've met that girl in the smoking area of the club that's telling you to like smash it and all that. It was good. I really liked it,
but yeah, she's a good time gal.
Yeah,
the performance is there. You know what, I'm going to be really intrigued to see what Crystal does with this win. The only thing I've heard from Lawrence is that Lawrence won a Scottish BAFTA.
She did?
How do you not know this? I'm just kidding.
I didn't even know Scottish BAFTAs were a thing.
Neither did I. But you know,
this, okay, sorry. When you said BAFTA, I just heard BAFTA, like the main BAFTAs, and I was wait, no, good for her. I would love to see Charissa like skyrocket. I thought she was so incredible.
I think Charissa will.
I love her.
She's so funny.
She's hilarious.
Her final runway put everyone else. Like, well, not everyone else, but the ones that were still competing.
Yeah.
Too shame. Mm. Like, she looked like she came ready to win.
I totally agree. And what was so funny about this final runway was I was like, literally no one came wearing like final runway eleganza. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's the drag that they save, you know? That's the one that you are not going to wear anytime else. Like, you're only going to wear it if you are on that runway. So.
Well, yeah, you know what?
I mean, money, you know?
Thank you for humbling us. Money is definitely an issue. We went through a time where most drag queens were struggling, so for sure.
To be fair, I'm humbling myself as well. I'm reminding myself because I'm like, it's so easy to like get started going. Like, it's so easy to start criticizing people, but you do have to remember, like,
yeah,
all this other stuff.
I mean, poor Veronica could barely even like pay for, you know, fabric for her final runway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Body, oddy, oddy.
Literally
coming through.
Literally, she posted, she's like, love it or hate it, everyone's talking about it. And I was like, because there was nothing there.
Yeah, baby.
That being said, though, she makes a very, like, when they had, like, the close-up shots of her, like, she does make a really pretty woman.
She but really does.
It was, yeah, like, I think, like, I wasn't totally, like, against the idea. It needed a little bit more fabric, because when it was zoomed out on TV, like, I didn't see that there were, like, her flesh-colored up here. Mm-hmm. Like, it was an actual dress that went right up here and everything. Like, on TV, all I could see was the one covering her area. So, like, I think it needed a little bit more to it. But, like, it wasn't a season of the looks for me. Like, it really wasn't.
I think that's very true.
Like, I think Charity Case carried it for me.
Yeah.
And Crystal. Mm-hmm.
Charity Case walked into that finale looking like a winner. And she will leave this, she will leave this Drag Race as a winner just for being, like, the only original drag queen that was on this.
Always staying true to herself.
I mean, her witch look that she wore to the rose
was amazing.
Oh, that was great. That was great.
Like, I died.
It was so effortlessly beyond anything that anyone was wearing. Charity Case, just go on Dragula and win, because that's what really needs to happen, because she's just, she's so good.
It was really good.
Adam, we could talk to you all day, but unfortunately, you know, we do have to end the podcast. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming back. Thank you so much for making new art. I literally gay gasped when I saw your drawing of Nikki Doll. Like, it was just, when you said that you had something you were working on, I was like, okay, like, he's going to, like, just drop, like, a new drawing, like, whatever. But, like, I was like, this is worth the wait.
Wait, when did I say that?
When we were recording the last podcast.
Oh, I was not talking about that.
Oh my God. Oh, wait. So when did you do Nikki Doll?
Like last week.
You did it really fast?
It was so quick. Like, we were on a deadline, and even after I handed it over, like, it was just up, like, within like 12 hours. Like, it was very quick. So, like, yeah, I don't know what I was talking about when I teased that.
That's so funny. Then maybe that means you're going to bless us with another drawing. Like, in
there is more. There is more coming.
Okay.
But I really don't know what I was talking about. Maybe I was lying. Like, yeah. I genuinely have no idea. But Nikki Doll, literally, this time 2 weeks ago, was not a thing. So.
Okay, well, never lie to us again. But please give us more drawings.
They're coming.
Where can people find you, stalk you, lift you up online?
Just Instagram.
It'll be in the show notes.
I'm literally nowhere else.
Oh, are you like mysterious like that? You're like, you don't have like a digital footprint besides Instagram?
Yeah.
And your website?
No, I mean, I have like LinkedIn, but like, I just don't, I don't think I'm interesting enough that I need like anything else.
So. Yeah.
I am on other social platforms, but I don't wish to necessarily be found.
Don't share any platform that you don't want lifted up.
Yeah.
That's
just Instagram. Me.
Yeah.
Instagram, where I don't even post.
The point of finding your Instagram is just so that people can just like luxuriate on all your drawings and, you know, just enjoy it, because that's literally what I do every now and then.
Glad.
Nick, Adam, please be well. Happy holidays. And we're actually going to be taking a break after this episode for about 2 weeks. So we will not be whispering for 2 weeks, but we're going to have a lovely vacation.
Yeah, call it vocal rest.
Very true. So for the next 2 weeks, y'all, be well, be kind, and
we love you.
We love you. And if you happen to wear something that is too nude, add another layer.
Of nude.
Of nude. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.